This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, Boston Sports Original, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Nice to have you with us here today on a sunny Wednesday afternoon, 20th of November here in the Commonwealth. We are live in our Brighton studios. Got a busy show today. That was Don Sweeney you just heard. We'll be talking a lot of Bruins today, fallout from the Montgomery firing, which happened yesterday while we were on the air. But really, it happened as soon as Scoops Keefe let us know it was happening at 1:40 yesterday. Also, we'll be talking with Adam Schefter, Mr. Tomcat, Adam Schefter at 3:45. Looking forward to that. Brian Scalabrine joins the show at 4. And there's some other things as well that we'll be getting to, like the Celtics last night. It's a very packed show today. We got all four teams.
I'm a little overwhelmed.
It's a lot. It's like very stimulating.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a lot of things going on here, for sure. Not to mention Gerard Mayo and Drake May both spoke today as well. We'll get into the matchup with the Miami Dolphins, which is coming up. We have Behind the Glass in the 5 o'clock hour, all sorts of things. But let's start
Cole
here.
Cole Strange is practicing. That's
Cole
exciting.
Cole Strange is back, you guys. It's going to sell
Did
some
Did you see
jerseys.
That? Gerard Mayo was like, it's exciting.
It is exciting if you're really into offensive line play and not very good offensive line play. And, first-round draft bust. All that stuff, that pops your cork, then yes. The Cole Strange thing is very exciting. Anyway, that was Don Sweeney, who spoke at length today, answered a lot of questions, and revealed some things that I definitely wasn't expecting him to say, like that there was a contract offer made in the offseason, that there were discussions, I guess. Maybe it wasn't an offer, but there were contract discussions, contract negotiations. Clearly, they didn't go anywhere. And now the fate of the team, he says, rests with him. The fate of this decision and what happens next rests with him. The roster from here on out, the trade deadline is 4 months away from now. It's a while, so you know we'll see exactly what happens there, but that rests with him as well. And the fallout from this is already starting to ripple through the locker room. David Pastrnak speaking at length about how we failed Montgomery and we lost a great guy and a great coach and etc. You're hearing a lot of that from guys in that locker room.
Yep.
I'm very interested in seeing how this team looks tomorrow night. This is going to be one of the more intriguing games, I think. And every time a coach gets fired, you want to see what they look like the next game after that. But this one in particular, where it's so clear that the players let the coach down, where it's just unanimous, basically. I haven't heard one person, one commentator, one caller, a texter, a person in the Twitch chat, nobody. I have not heard one person say that the players don't deserve a hefty share of the blame for this all going on. I mean, it's clear as day. And listen, I've been yelling about Sweeney. I've been yelling about Cam Neely. I've been yelling about this stupid Bruins boys club that's been going on here for 20 years, producing one Stanley Cup and then acting like, hey, you know, we can't possibly move on from these guys from the 90s, who, by the way, never won anything themselves back when they were playing. And like, we got to keep everybody there. I was thinking about it today driving in, Andy. The Bruins in that way are kind of like the Montreal Canadiens. You know what I mean? Like, very love the smell of their own fart. Like, we're the Bruins. We have all Bruins in our front office. We're going to bring in all the, you know, people are going to stay here forever. No one's ever going to get traded. We're going to keep everybody right here. And then when they're done playing, we're going to put them on Nesson, and they're going to do the alternate broadcast. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's very, what's the word? Incestuous. Yeah, I think it's kind of what it is. And I feel like for the Jacobs family, who, you know, Delaware North, like, they've put all this off, like, the way the Crafts used to with Belichick. They've put it all off on Neely and Sweeney to do all the hockey stuff, and they just kind of are there with the money, and that's fine. I mean, listen, it's the way a lot of these ownership groups operate, and frankly, I kind of like it. I like that they don't interfere very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that this whole thing with the Bruins, I mean, it's gotten to the point now where, yeah, these guys should be feeling the heat. These guys absolutely should be feeling the heat, because I think that this team kind of needs an enema, you know? Like, I think this team needs to be flushed right out, because at what point, you know, I'm watching Bergeron and Tuca and all these guys on the Nesson broadcast, people calling Greg Hill talking about, yeah, Bergeron should be the next head coach. Is this thing ever going to end? Like, are we ever going to get out of this cycle of mediocrity that is represented by all these guys? And listen, Bergeron was a great player. Tuca was a great goalie. All these guys were good players. So before you call in, like, oh, Arcan, you don't know hockey. Those guys were all great. I know they were great, but they didn't win anything. They won one Stanley Cup 13 years ago and had a bunch of really unfortunate flameouts in the playoffs and sometimes the finals after that when they made the play. They missed it a couple times, too. But you would think that they were this dynasty.
Right.
You know, you would think that they just never lost a cut. Like, they were there every single year and hoisted it every other season and all these awards and things like that. And it's just, it's not true, but they get kind of treated that way. And it's just, I just want the charade to end. You know, that's sort of how I feel about it. And this is a good opportunity to do that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but it just seems very hoity-toity. Where are the Bruins? You don't know. Like, you know, I just, at some point, when you keep failing over and over again, don't you want to start over with some fresh faces and new people? I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's a high priority. They've just left things to Neely. They've left things to Sweeney, and they said, figure it out and just keep making the playoffs. So long as you keep doing that, we're fine. We're satisfied over here in Delaware. But for the rest of us, I just feel like we're getting screwed, you know? Like, for the average fan, as much as you may like those guys and as much as you may like some of the guys on this team right now, just don't you want something more? Don't you want them to take that next step? Don't you want them to maybe try something different? It's just the same thing every year. You know, that's what I'm annoyed by.
So I am not quite ready to blow up the roster like you seem closer to than I am. I thought Sweeney, he kind of did our pillar power rankings today in a weird way, because he obviously told you how he felt about Montgomery because he moved on from him. And then he said, and there might be roster shakeup stuff coming. So he's telling you the players.
Yep.
And then he put himself and Cam in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
And I also think that's a little bit weird in that if I were Cam Neely, I said it to you yesterday, I wouldn't be doing the release. I'd be distancing myself from Sweeney at this point. If I were looking to CYA, cover my own job, but I would be distancing myself so I can fire him and give myself another time. It's because the pairing is fine until the Jacobs family goes, well, you guys are kind of tied at the hip, so you both go.
Right.
Just go. The second thing for me is I've always been dubious of the great player running the organization. I think there are few and far between examples of it working and way more examples of it not being the way
sure.
to go. I think you're much better off. Maybe it's because I'm the short, geeky dude or whatever who was never the dominant player. But, like, go into that guy, the career guy who works his way up the ladder in that role. Not just, oh, I was, you know, I won a ring, I won a cup, I won this. I'm just going to slide right into the front office. And I know this sport as much as anybody. I mean, Ozzie Newsome, sure, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry West, I think, was good for
Jerry
a long
West
time.
Is tremendous.
Like,
yeah.
There are examples
John
of
Lynch
it,
is a good example.
John Lynch is
right.
good.
Yeah.
There's a lot more examples, in my opinion, throughout sports. And it's done more in hockey and in basketball than it is in football.
True.
Although football's trending that way. Hell, we got it down here. We got Jerod Mayo, Dante Hightower, Matthew Slater,
sure
Troy
do.
Brown. We got the whole damn team part of the organization now. And it's early, but the wins are not exactly coming, and the culture is questionable. So I'm interested to see how this changes, because I think retroactively we're going to judge this move, because we're all thinking the players stink. Actually, we all know the players stink right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing stinky. Sorry, Jerod Mayo. They're playing stinky right now. They don't stink because they didn't used to stink.
They stink today.
They stink. Well, they stink through 20 games.
They've stunk for.
Yeah,
this
stink,
since,
stank,
yeah.
and stunk, as Mike Giardi famously
yeah.
said about the Patriots wide receivers. He needs a few more of those. This is stink, stank, and stunk like 10 times over. They all are that. But if they get a bump, and it's not just a one-game bump or a two-game bump. If they get a legit bump here, that's when it's going to even more fall on Montgomery. If they just listlessly stumble through the rest of the season and they start making trades and dismantling the roster, shaking things up, then it wasn't Montgomery. You tried. Mm-hmm. You pushed the panic button. You did the normal thing in all these sports. I know Joe Mazzulla was asked about it, and he said we're hired to get fired, basically. Yep. And that's true very much so in basketball and hockey. Very much so. It's a quick turnaround. From coach of the year to out of a job in the NBA and NHL is often a couple years.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
So we're going to figure out, I think, retroactively more about this roster slash the coaches. But the thing I go back to, Razor, I still don't know exactly what Razor said to me yesterday in multiple answers about whether the lack of a contract extension kind of made the executives complicit in this, right? Like, I think they created an environment that festered and fostered failure. Like, I just think they did. And I'm not sure I believe. So am I to believe Montgomery just flat out turned down an extension? Is that what Sweeney's selling me on?
That's what he said.
So was
Do we have that, by the way?
Can was you it so crappy can you, that he turned it down?
Can you grab that, Stiz? This is from Sweeney's press conference today. Asked about his lame duck status, Montgomery's lame duck status. Dropped this little nugget, which I was surprised by. I heard it. I was like, did he just say that? And Jones and Keefe were talking about it afterwards. And I had to rewind it and say, wait, is that what he meant? Here, listen to this.
No, not from the second guessing. As I said, I was in extension talks. There was contract offers. So, you know, I feel very comfortable. The person makes it no different than a player making an individual decision. You know, we've got players that did that as well this summer. So, you know, there's two sides to every negotiation, and they have to make their own decisions accordingly. And we react as a result of that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't come to fruition at some point in time, because you're very open. It's not like we shut things down, but at the end of the day, performance is part of this.
We were lowballing everybody, right. Is basically what he's
That's
saying.
What
we
I
lowballed
took that
the
from.
Goalie, we lowballed the coach, we lowballed anybody that had a contract coming up, except for the two guys that I signed away in free agency. We gave them whatever they wanted.
Boy, was everybody else.
Yeah, our coach and our goalie, we played real hardball with both of those guys, and look how well it worked out for us.
So he turned down an extension. He said there was an offer made.
He said there were discussions.
No, he said offer.
Did he say offer?
Play it again.
Play it one more time.
Re-rack that. He said offer.
Okay, sorry. I misheard then. I was only,
No, not from the second guessing. As I said, I was in extension talks. There was contract offers.
Contract offers.
So that means a contract was offered. He declined.
Yep.
Why did he decline?
Low ball, probably.
He just doesn't like money. He doesn't want to tack on a year or 2 years that he know. Because he knew that he's in the crosshairs.
Sure.
I heard Jones and Keith talking about it.
In the offseason, he knew that?
I think a lot of people thought if he didn't win that series in the playoffs, he was going to get fired. So if they're already pondering it based on that, yeah, you won a series. That's great. But are you on, you know, are they building a statue in front of the garden? No. You're on borrowed time. You're so why would he not want to tack on unless it was embarrassingly low, right? And
Could've
he has
been.
Confidence himself. Like, so the offer was on the table. He turned it down. That's to me a key factor in this.
Yeah, I just said my record is 120-40, whatever it is, and you're offering me this? Like, come on. And he probably thinks if they do fire me, I'll get hired somewhere else. And I think he will. I don't think that he's going to go on without a job forever.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe not this year, but next year he'll be behind some bench somewhere. I'm sure of that. I think that's basically a guarantee. The players all miss him. They're all talking about him like he was the greatest guy in the world.
Well, and you had him. You should have kept him.
I agree.
Maybe play better.
I agree. You know,
all of you. I'm not talking to like Marchand or anyone in particular.
What are you going to say? Joe Sacco now has a big, big job ahead of him. I wonder how you fix this. We asked Razor about that yesterday. He said it starts in the defensive zone. I agree with him there. I think that's been a major Achilles heel. But where's goalie Bob been all year? Where's goalie Bob? What's up with him? How come goalie Bob, right? Like, didn't Montgomery sort of defer everything over to goalie Bob? Yeah, it's goalie Bob's department. I don't worry about that.
Now the goalie stinks and he's nowhere to be found?
I've not heard, seen hide nor hair of goalie Bob. I haven't heard a word about him or from him at all. So I wonder when he's going to start getting his mojo going again and get these guys defending that crease, because right after the defensive zone stuff, it's got to be Swayman, right? You've got to figure out what's up with him. You've got to figure out how to get him going.
I think you got to get him going. I think you got to get Lindholm going somehow, right? You gave a guy a boatload of money to come in and be a critical aspect of this team, and it just hasn't panned out. I mean, if anything, that's the one. If I'm Sweeney, that's the one I'm actually focused on,
mm-hmm.
because that's the one that's closest tied to my job being over.
Right.
Like, you wasted a boatload of money on a long-term deal that has brought no return on investment. The other thing was Sacco. So I didn't know this. He ran their penalty kill for the totality, basically, the time that he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been good except for
this year.
So how's he going to fix it? He was already trying to fix it, right?
Good question.
I mean, what's he going to – was Montgomery not allowing him to do certain things he wanted to do? It's like this magic cure of him standing up a little differently on the bench area. Is it really going to be the be-all, end-all, cure-all? It's hard to believe. I mean, I'd love to see it because I do fall back on, because I'm seeing more and more of this, and it's starting to piss me off, quite honestly. All these rip jobs of the roster.
Mm.
Where were all you people in August? Because none of you were writing how bad this roster was, what a terrible team this was, what a terrible fit Lindholm and Zadorov and all these guys were. I didn't read one example of this is a crappy roster with a crappy GM who's going to go.
Yeah.
And now
that's why this is so shocking.
They lose
no one
some games,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, this roster stinks. You have no credibility. I'm sorry. You have no credibility as a—
because you thought the team was going to be good, and now they suck?
The performance isn't the roster.
What are you talking about?
If you thought the roster was good—
the roster's not good.
Okay, but why did no one say that before the season started?
Because they thought it would be good.
Okay, but the roster hasn't changed.
A bunch of people were wrong. Sure, of course it has.
No, it hasn't.
Yes,
the
it
roster
has.
Is
they
the
brought
same.
In Zadorov, and they brought in Lindholm and Jones, sure. And all these other guys.
So those are the only moves that are bad? Because everybody stinks. The goalie stinks. Your scorer stinks.
Agreed.
Your best defenseman stinks. Guys that were the core of your team that had 100 points and won a first-round series are still here, correct?
Right, but Andy, nobody thought this team was going to fall off like this.
No, I know. That's my point. So you all thought the roster was good.
You can't say no one has credibility because they all thought that this 100-win
team evaluation
wouldn't completely fall apart this year. You know,
if you're telling me the roster stinks now but told me it was great 2 months ago, I have no value for your credibility. Your talent
is wrong. All right,
we'll
tell that to Razor next time we call him.
I will.
You thought this was going to be a Stanley Cup team. Tell me he has
no
credibility.
He still does. He said that yesterday quite definitively. I still think this team is built for the Stanley Cup.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it can make a run.
All right.
It's all the other hockey writers not named Keefe, because Keefe I trust. I haven't heard Keith screw it up. But this is I did this last year with the Patriots. There were a lot of people that thought the Patriots were really talented and were really going to win a lot of games. And I was like, what? Are we looking at the same team? Because I think this team stinks. And the team ended up stinking.
They stunk.
They definitely stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Pot shot from Gerard Mayo toward Bill Belichick today. We'll get to that later in his press conference. Subtle shot, subtle firing back of Gerard Mayo toward Bill Belichick, who's been taking plenty of pot shots in the open at
Gerard.
He
certainly has, yes. And I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
it was subtle, so most people didn't pick up on it. But this guy right here picked up on it.
All right,
I'm
very good.
I'm fired up for this day. I don't know if you can tell.
No, I can tell.
Didn't even have an energy drink or anything.
All full of urine and vinegar over here.
Damn right.
Yeah, very good. So there we go. Don Sweeney says there was a contract offer made to Jim Montgomery. They did offer him a contract. He turned it down. I would imagine, based on the Sweeney Swayman negotiations, that it was some kind of low-ball offer, as they are want to do with their own guys now for some reason, except for McAvoy and Pasternak, although that one didn't happen right away either. So, you know, this is the price of doing business. This is the cost sometimes. And when you get off to a bad start, yeah, you start with the coach. That's the easy one. That's the easy domino to knock down. But after that, you know, you gotta stop the rest of them from falling, and you got to stop them before they get to you. According to Keefe, Scoops Keefe, although this wasn't totally a scoop, there are going to be more changes made if things don't turn up. Now, if this team rattles off 5 wins in a row, first of all this stuff about how great Monty was is going to come right back up. Well, how come you couldn't do that for him? What happened? Why did this team suddenly remember how to play hockey after you fired this coach who you think is so great? Like, that's going to be a question, and that's going to be a legitimate question too, by the way, because all of them are talking about how great he is and how much they love him, more so than they did when Cassidy got fired.
Yes.
When Cassidy got fired, there was real tension between him and a lot of the players on that team, and you could tell the old boys club, like I said, you know, Bergeron, Krejci, all those guys, they were just happy to see him off, and they gave him the, you know, customary okay, good luck out in Vegas or whatever. But this time you're hearing guys gushing about Jim Montgomery. They like him. They think he's a good guy and a good coach, and they feel like they failed him. And I'll buy all that if they continue to play like that, you know, like if they suddenly kick into gear. And they haven't even won 3 games in a row once this year. We're 20 games into the season. They don't have 1 3-game win streak under their belt. Like, this season has been brutal. They start winning games. They start rattling off wins, fair or not. That's the way the conversation's going to go. So what was he doing wrong? How was Montgomery holding them back? Why were they not playing for him? All that sort of stuff. And that's what happens. Now, if things continue the way that they're going, I do believe there will be trades, and I said that yesterday before Keefe even had his scoop.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the next natural step here, and I don't necessarily think they're going to blow it all up. I know I'm being reactionary and angry and everything that I usually am when it comes to the Bruins when they're playing like this, but this to me seems like a three-step plan to get to a new day in Bruins hockey, if you want to even get there. And you only want to get there if you continue playing like this, if you continue being outside the playoff picture, looking in, hovering around 500, getting beat by the Columbus Blue Jackets, etc. Next thing is players, right? You take a look at some of these guys, and I don't know who they're actually going to look at. Their best players all have no movement clauses, so, I mean, you're probably not going to be moving any of them. But I've heard Trent Frederick's name get tossed around. I like Frederick, but I could see that happening. I could see it happening with a couple other guys, too, like Geeky and, you know, some of your other defensemen, Carlo, etc. After that, who's left? Don Sweeney. Don Sweeney, Cam Neely, and then that's the last line of defense for this thing.
And he said that. Yeah. I give him credit. He said the roster, the coach is gone, the roster's next, and then it's organizational shakeup, right? That means him and Neely. I also liked that. Organizational shakeup. He didn't just say me.
Right.
You know, like Gerard Mayo says me or Bill Belichick says me. He said organizational.
Yeah.
So you know what he's doing? He's saying, Neely, you're as entrenched in this failure as I am. So don't try to skirt here and make me the fall guy like we just made him the fall guy. I'm going down with you and you're going down with me.
My boat's sinking. I'm shooting one cannonball back up, just so you know.
Absolutely.
One of those type
Absolutely.
Of deals. So there you go. Bruins on the docket here. We'll talk Celtics in the next segment. But first, here's Stiz to tell you what's trending.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.